Our next issue is paper 13, the telecommunications towers. As soon as we get our staff in here.
Good morning, everybody. In this session, I'd like to present the issue on whether a telecommunication tower in a jurisdiction should be accounted for as PP&E under IS-16 or investment property under IS-40. In the submission, the tower is described as a structure which consists of only steel frames, and they do not have walls, floors, or roofs. In this sense, the physical appearance is significantly different from ordinary office buildings, even though they are permanently constructed on a piece of land. The main argument in the submission is whether this kind of structure should be viewed as building and property for the purpose of paragraph 5 of IS-40. And as described in the agenda paper, our outreach activity was not completed when this paper was prepared, so I'd like to update you on the result of the outreach here. We received 15 responses to our outreach request from 12 national standard setters and 3 regulatory bodies. Out of the 15 responses, 5 jurisdictions said leasing of telecom tower is a common transaction in their jurisdictions, and another jurisdiction said this transaction is not common now, but because of the recent development of new businesses, they think this issue will become relevant in the near future. And in all 5 jurisdictions in which this transaction is widespread, telecommunication towers are generally accounted for as PP&E under IS-16, and currently there's no significant diversity in practice. That's what they said. And with regard to the reasons for that accounting treatment, one jurisdiction said the lesser of the towers provide significant ancillary services using the tower, such as broadcasting services. And 2 other jurisdictions said there are 2 reasons for that accounting treatment. The first reason is its physical characteristics are different from ordinary buildings. And second reason is the lesser provides significant ancillary services to the tenants. And another jurisdiction explained that the towers are not viewed as building for the purpose of IS-40 because of the physical characteristics of the tower. And for another respondent, we are still confirming the reasons for the accounting for the tower as PP&E under IS-16. Regarding the question related to other types of assets and transactions, most respondents answered that there's no significant diversity in practice. But 2 respondents expressed their concern that if the telecom tower in this submission is viewed as building, other assets such as billboard tower for advertisement and airplanes and cargo ships might be considered as building for the purpose of IS-40. So in summary, the outreach result found that there's no diversity in practice, even though in all 5 jurisdictions, the towers are generally accounted for under IS-16. And in the 4 jurisdictions, including the submit Indonesia, there's a view that the tower is not building for the purpose of IS-40 because of its physical appearance, which is a different view from our view described in this agenda paper. Consequently, if the committee agrees on our analysis in this agenda paper, we'd like to recommend that the committee should take some action to resolve this issue. And as described in this paper, we think that alternative 3 is the most appropriate approach to this issue. So our questions are, do you agree with the staff analysis in this paper? And if agree, do you agree with the staff recommendation in this paper?
To update the committee before I ask for views, this issue originated at the Emerging Economies Group. and was raised by Indonesia. And in, as I understand, in their jurisdiction, they have a split. Some of the businesses who erect and lease these towers are using the investment property guidance. The others are using the fixed asset guidance, so they have diversity. The other thing, the second thing that was a revelation to me was the analysis that Brazil had done. And it appeared to me that what we have is a developing new industry in holding these towers as investment properties in the generic sense, at least, providing no services. They just rent space on the tower. And that has not historically been the business model in the industry, but it appeared that that was where things were trending, at least for some telecommunications operators. They didn't want to be in the tower business anymore. They wanted to be in the telecommunications business. And so they were more than willing to have people lease them space on these things. The third view, and the view of the people at the Emerging Economies Group, I would describe was split. The third view was to be an investment property, you have to be a building, and buildings have solid walls and people can sleep there or go to work there or whatever they do. But they had a very traditional sense of, or a very limited sense of, what the term building meant in IAS 40. And so they would say, no, if, as I say, I'm putting this in a very oversimplified way, because obviously a warehouse could also be an investment property, but that if it didn't have solid walls and people couldn't sleep there, then it would not qualify as an investment property in their minds. So with that, Scott, you want to open up?
I was just trying to follow up to see, now that you've got the feedback, is the staff recommendation the same? You know, it sounded like the feedback was IAS 16. The staff recommendation originally was IAS 40. Is the staff recommendation still IAS 40?
Yeah.
Okay.
The nod head yes was there. We need to make that clear.
And in that case, I'll express I have concern about calling this building. Because I think it makes any piece of equipment that is stuck to the ground a building. It makes a road sign a building. It makes just about anything a building. If we want to do that, I think we need to think about it a little bit more. In U.S. GAAP, we don't have investment property accounting, but we do have some different requirements that apply to real estate, which is commonly thought of as land and building. Now, the different requirements we have for real estate are generally insane, but it does require you at some points to decide whether something is real estate or not. And after a long time of bouncing around trying to figure out how to do this for things like power plants that are not buildings but also aren't movable, we developed a concept that in the U.S. is called integral equipment. And if you have something that qualifies as integral equipment, then it is essentially considered to be a building and is part of real estate. But there was a standard setting process applied to determine what is integral equipment and what's not, as opposed to just looking at, well, this tower, that looks like a building. I think if we're going to do that, we need to think a little more about what are the characteristics that make something that ordinarily would be thought of as equipment become a building when it is stuck to the ground. And I would rather not do that in a rejection notice.
Okay, Joanna?
I share those same concerns, comments as Scott, and I'll be honest, I didn't realize until Scott actually asked you the question that you were still recommending IS 40. I presumed that in relation to the outreach that you were going to change your recommendation and make it 16.
Called an independent staff.
So that's fine. In concept, I agree that IS 40 can apply and possibly should apply to anything on which you can get, you know, the rent and if you like, the theory behind why 40 is there. But the way 40 is written at the moment, it is for property and it is for land and buildings. And you look at the examples of investment property, and I agree that to me, if we put these in there, and you said that somebody raised, you know, the questions of, well, if you say these are buildings, then what else are buildings? And I agree with Scott that if we're going to go down that route, we should be doing it, and it's the generic we, as a much, much bigger project of what should IS 40 apply to, rather than sliding in a telecommunication tower, because I think it does open the opportunity for others to say, well, it fits there as well. As I say, I agree with the concept, but we're not there yet, and that now is not the time to do it. So I believe we should be saying it is 16.
Joanna, may I ask a question? I understand the reservation. What do you see as the downside of saying, for example, a building is anything permanently affixed to land? What would the disability be that would arise from that?
In terms of technical accounting, I would say actually no disability, in that, as I say, and I actually think an awful lot of things that are classified as land buildings, and you can't revalue them through the P&L, effectively should be. So conceptually, I support it, but from a practical perspective and what it does in terms of making other people, because arguably, are we actually then saying, so the downside is, I shouldn't be calling this that I am currently calling PP&E, I should be calling it an investment property. So it is opening up, and not just opening up, but making everybody question and maybe changing the accounting for an awful lot of other things where people have been following 16. Because I think it is changing the scope of 40.
Okay. Andrew and then Laurence.
Well, similar comments, really. I just think if we're going to do this, we need to perhaps do a little bit more work, because the staff paper itself mentions things like warehouses or storage facilities, advertising boards and advertising towers, without completely analysing the difference, if any, between those and this kind of situation. So I'm sympathetic to what Scott and Joanna have said about needing to do a little bit more work and compare and contrast various situations.
Ross?
I was not offended by the staff conclusion. In the end, it's renting of space. Rather than renting space flat, you're renting space vertical. So what's the difference? What made me consider that applying IS 40 could be appropriate in the circumstances is also one of the facts that those towers, you can't move them that easily. And to move them might be uneconomical. So I see that, and maybe that's the difference between the advertising boards, which might be moved more easily from one place to another place. So getting or applying IS 40 to such towers, so rather in iron rather than being in brick, does not bother me. But I was wondering, if you were to apply your alternative 3 approach with an example, how are you going to do it without giving a definition of what is a building? What is going to be the explanation you're going to give to say IS 40, it falls into the scope of IS 40? And I think that you're going to run into what you wanted to avoid, which is to give a definition of what a building is.
I just went to the Oxford English Dictionary, and it says a building is a structure with a roof and walls. A structure with a roof and walls. So we would need to do more than just...
What it says?
That is literally all it says, such as a house or a factory.
Okay. Never know the Oxford English Dictionary?
No. Well, there are other definitions that are irrelevant, but that's the one.
Wayne, may I?
Please, Luca.
I think that the first element is that we have to wait the results of the church that is now running. My personal view is that this case is more in the camp of EIS 16 rather than in 40, for mainly two reasons. The first one is that I have some difficulty to say that we are speaking about a building, and the other, that is well indicated inside the paper, is linked with the fact that the cash flows deriving from these activities are not necessarily independent, because probably I have in mind that these entities has constructed several towers in order to have a sort of network that can be leased to the telecommunication networks. So every single towers is strictly linked, also for technical reasons, to other towers that are also leased for transfer the signals from one part to another part of the states. In the paper and also in the submission, they also quote some elements relating to the storage or gas or this kind of activities. From my point of view, I have no evidence of any question regarding the classification of storage like a PP&E according to EIS 16. In no cases I have seen discussion regarding the classification of storage or gas according to EIS 40. There are some discussion relating to the application of a regulated assets element due to the fact that there are a strong regulation on the storage activities on gas, but no one in 15 years of my experience in this field I have seen elements to look at storage as EIS 14. So I think that the search is important to complete the necessary input to the staff, but I'm not sure that it is appropriate to go on EIS 40. I'm more in the camp of EIS 16.
Okay, let's go, Philippe, with board members' privilege, and then John and Scott.
Well, I tried to find in our textbook a definition of building. I did not find any, so you have to go back to a dictionary, and it implies there is a roof. And telecommunication tower probably doesn't have a roof, doesn't need one. Now, well, you may have this shape if you want, and a roof over. I don't know whether it's useful or not, but if that is a key point, I have some questions, because if I build a storage facility for gas or oil, I don't have technically walls. I have a container, and I probably have some form of something on the top, which you may call a roof or not. But you, Luca is saying, no, that is not a building. Now, let's move to the next one. I construct a grain elevator. Grain elevator is permanently fixed to land. You can't move it. It will store grain. It has probably roofs or containers, walls, and probably has a roof. Or if I do a warehouse to store wine, whatever, then I will have technically walls and roofs. So there is a continuum, and to say that is building, that is not, I find it a bit difficult to precisely say, and especially through a rejection notice, I don't find where you could hang it on to the definition of a building. And to hang it on to a dictionary, whether it is Oxford or Webster's, I don't feel it's possible. So if anything, I would think that it could require a clarification through an annual improvement. And by the way, as an ex-liaison member with XBRL, our team on XBRL, I think there is probably a need to improve our definitions of what is a building, because under XBRL, they will have a big problem here. So if the final idea is that a building is something you have to put people inside instead of goods, then whenever it's goods, it cannot be a building, I think we have a problem. And if we say, okay, it can be built to host or to have goods instead of people inside, then where do you stop? I mean, so I think I don't see any harm in saying that is something that could go under the IS 40 investment property, because the business purpose, which is to invest capital to earn a rental on something which is probably relatively permanently located, is not that different from investing in a storage warehouse. So why prohibit people if they want to apply IS-40? And they don't, because they have to apply IS-40, doesn't mean they have to go to a fair value model. They could still do it at cost if they want. But those who want to do
it. They
have
other investment property that they left at fair value.
Yeah.
I apologize for interrupting, but
Wayne asked for the downside before. The downside is you only get one accounting policy for all your investment property.
That's fine.
But if you didn't think this was investment property, now it is, now you got a problem.
The business model for that investor is to put its capital in building telecommunication towers. He has to choose what he wants to do. That's fine. If they want to put everything at cost, okay. If they want to put everything at fair value, that's okay. Probably they cannot have a mixed model. Because they have one business model, that's fine. But I don't see the downside of that. It's to me, it's okay. Just to hang our definition of buildings to something we have not yet defined in our own literature, and to reject because of that absence of definition, I find it difficult.
Okay, let's go. Since I've already turned on mics, Scott, Bernd, and then John.
Well, the first thing I just wanted to mention was the accounting policy election applies to all investment property. So the entity that has other investment property perhaps isn't just a single line cell tower builder and operator, but has other investment property and has selected a model for that. Presume they have selected the fair value model for that and is using costs for their towers because they thought they were IAS 16. Now we're telling that company you have to change. And perhaps that company doesn't want to change for the cell towers.
Excuse me for interrupting, but on the other hand, if you were you viewed yourself in the investment business and you invested in a variety of things, you're also foreclosing from them using fair value through P&L. For the cell tower.
Absolutely. There's certainly an upside for putting it in IAS 40 as well. But you asked what the downside was. The other thing I wanted to mention, Laurence mentioned something permanently affixed to land. It would perhaps be uneconomical to move it. That's exactly what we ended up doing in the U.S. when we did this definition of integral equipment. The main criteria to be met in order to be integral equipment, and therefore it turns equipment into real estate, is considering the costs of moving it, both in terms of real dollars and utility of the item. If the thing basically falls apart if you try to move it, then it's considered integral equipment. And if it costs too much to move it, that's considered integral equipment. So if we really wanted to start thinking about that, I think looking at, you know, the cost of moving to help us draw the line is probably useful. But it's still, I think, dangerous to do it through a rejection notice.
Okay, all of a sudden I got a Christmas tree here, I think. Let's just go this way and then I'll come back. So, Bernd, you're next.
Well, I agree with what has been said, and especially what Philippe mentioned. I think we end up, if we start discussing the
the definition of what is a building and what is not a building, we end up discussing this forever, and if someone's dragging in another example of, is this a building or isn't this a building? I'm thinking of wind parks, for example. Are these buildings or not? They don't have a roof, but they have, obviously, you can climb them inside, so you are sheltered from the rain. And so I don't think that it's very fruitful for us to find a definition of what is a building and what isn't. We might ask an engineering guy if there is a technical definition besides the Oxford Dictionary, and maybe someone who is technically involved in building can enlighten us about it. Maybe there is a definition. But still, I think we end up discussing this forever if we try to define it. Maybe we should tackle it from, and you did it in paragraph 16, step 2, what the purpose of the building or the structure is. Not so much what the definition of a building is, but what is the purpose of the structure. And I can think of a case where Lucas storage tanks might be in investment property. If I own a company renting those storage tanks to Lucas oil company, then it might be investment property instead of IS 16. So it's not the structure itself, the definition of the structure, but the purpose and what is it for. Do I rent it? Do I want to make money out of it by giving it to someone else? Or do I want to use it myself? And I think that's more the dividing line to me.
Okay. John?
I suppose, I don't have an objection to IS 40 being applied to these telecommunication towers, but I do think that it does raise the question about what's investment property, and similar to Bernd, is it the purpose for which it's held that makes it investment property, or is it the nature of the asset? And I think IAS 40 actually tells you it's the nature of the asset. The nature of the asset comes first, and then the purpose for which it's held makes it investment property. So it seems to me you can't, if you open a door and say the purpose drives investment property, then you open the door to all sorts of things that aren't land and buildings or both being included within IAS 40. I think if you looked at the nature, then you have to answer the question: well, what is a building, and what are the characteristics? Is it actually the construction? Is it something that's capable of occupation by individuals? Is it attachment to land, or is it the fact it's integral? And I actually think attachment to land and integral, I mean, integral is actually two different things. I don't think just because a tower is attached to land means it's actually integral to that land. Or do you look at the economics of actually moving? Is it important, the economics of being able to shift that piece of equipment or that construction off the land? So I don't think you can answer this question by just adding examples to IAS 40 and saying, well, here's an example of a tower and we think that's property. Because I think if you do, you're saying it's in 40 either because you're saying its purpose is to be held for rental, and that opens up a whole lot of other issues, or else you're actually making a conclusion on the definition of what a building is, which opens up a whole lot of other questions about whether anything else attached to land is a building, or whether it's because it's capable of renting out space and slots on the tower, does that make it a building? So I think you have to answer the question, what makes it a building, if you're going to say that IS, add examples to IS 40 that include it.
Tricia?
I was just going to point out that this issue may become even more important because of the standard or the exception that the board is about to issue from consolidation for investment entities. And as I recall, the way we're defining investment entities, they have to carry substantially all of their investments at fair value under IAS, not IAS 39, IAS 40, or IFRS 9. So to get the exception from consolidation, if you're an investment property company, you're going to want your investment in your telecommunication towers to come under 40 if you have more than an insignificant amount of investment.
That was my point to Scott, that there are, the consequence swings both ways.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, keeping in the same direction, Laurence?
Yeah, I was thinking on Scott's and John's comments about the fact that these towers are integral to the land or not. I would like to understand more from those investors whether indeed they also own or rent the land. Because I imagine that what the customers get as a service is to be at the top of this hill so that their signal can be emitted as well. So it is probably more the location that matters to them, and so the land spot, rather than just a piece of structure where they're going to put their satellites or whatsoever. So, and so this is why I would like to understand more whether effectively in this specific case, the land element is usually attached.
Okay. Joanna?
It strikes me from listening to the conversation, and particularly what Patricia has just said about investment entities, and John saying, you know, which is it in terms of 40? Is it the nature or is it actually the purpose? And if you look at IS16 at the moment includes in its definition of property, plant and equipment for rental to others. So that's got that there, whereas the purpose of 40 is total for rental and or capital appreciation. But arguably, I actually think that what we are generally talking about is actually, and why we are sympathetic to this, is because of the purpose of it, which comes back to my conceptual, what, you know, that yes, it makes sense, and particularly if you have an investment company that invests in things for capital appreciation or rental, why shouldn't they be accounted for? And they should be accounted for at fair value, because effectively that's what the ISB is doing. So I come back to, I mean, 40 in its day had the nature as the number one factor because nobody wanted to go beyond that. We're creating these things that aren't buildings. So to me, I'm not stuck on whether it's a building or not, you know, or what the spectrum is, but what is the purpose? And I wonder, and it's coming back to that very first thing, that, and we certainly can't do this, that through a rejection notice, but whether or not there is something that we can recommend to the board or do ourselves as a recommended improvement to actually say, well, the definition of investment something in IS 40, i.e. increasing the scope of 40 to include things about the purpose as opposed to the nature.
Okay. Fei Long, I think you're the last call.
There is diversity in practice. And I agree that the staff opinion not from the alternative A, because it's going to generate bigger issues. But I'm not sure alternative 3 could solve the issue. And furthermore, you know, the tower probably not just used by one operator, maybe share with different operators, and even rent to one operator or used by the owners at the same time. So we probably need to look at not just on the accounting issue of the asset, but also need to look at the revenue recognition for that.
Philippe?
I'd like to follow up on Jonas' comment. I think you should be careful about where we will stop, because if anything in which you invest to earn rentals or capital appreciation becomes investment property, then my fleet of rental cars is investment property. And that's a problem. I don't think you should go as far as that. So there should be some additional criteria, maybe to say that is property, a property, building, or related things. But to go as far as in cars become investment properties because you earn rentals would be a bit worrying.
It does seem to me, Philippe, that if you shift the emphasis from making the nature of the thing predominant to making the purpose predominant, then the whole, it puts all the pressure on the ancillary services criterion.
Sure.
Which we haven't discussed at all. Because with a lot of the stuff, including a lot of these cell towers in the traditional operating model, there were ancillary services. You had somebody in a control booth or something like that, and so they wouldn't have qualified. So if the committee was to shift, we would have to focus more attention. And I think Hertz probably fails because of ancillary services, or Avis or anybody else. But Scott, you wanted to come in?
No, I was going to take Philippe's comment and say, you know, I'm not sure about Hertz and Avis. There might be ancillary services there, but it would certainly cover equipment rental companies. The company that owns bulldozers and leases them out for 3 months to a construction site. Seems like that would certainly apply if we only focus on purpose. If we don't focus on nature as well. We can certainly go there, but again, that winds up being a broader project.
Philippe?
I suppose in the case of bulldozers, the maintenance and repairs is a significant business activity that is incumbent on the owner, possibly. But think of just containers, mm-hmm. shipping Absolutely. Containers, railway cars,
yep.
trailers, that require very little maintenance.
I agree.
Orange, and then it really is the last call.
Building on the thoughts, if we want to narrow it, though, it could be the renting of space in general. Space would include the towers, would include the containers. Space.
Okay, there's basically two paths. One is we say, no, we don't agree with the staff. This is IAS 16 because it's not a building. And we're going to take a traditional approach. And as John said, say that the nature is the first criterion and it fails the first criterion. We'd be done at that point. The other alternative is we take another look at 40, taking on board the fact that I don't think the staff ever anticipated expanding 40 to include fleets of rental cars and things like that. I'm a little hesitant, since I have a daughter-in-law who's a brilliant architect, to get an engineer or an architect involved, because our definition is going to be a lot more complicated. The fact that she's brilliant doesn't mean that it's concise. Though I think if we continue to look at 40, my initial reaction would be that we have to keep with the spirit of building, which means it's something permanently affixed to land as a practical approach to it. But those are our two alternatives. We either stop now, say nope, it's property, plant, and equipment, and we're done, or we tell the staff to do some more work on what we could do with 40 without making it ridiculously complicated. But it is going to put pressure on the ancillary services test, so I think we're going to have to look at that too. Scott?
You're reaching for the button.
With regards to those two choices, my preference is to look at 40 and see if we can make some changes, annual improvement or whatever, that would actually put some criteria to analyze, what's a building And you know, you might look at the U.S. GAAP definition of integral equipment as at least a place for ideas if we wind up going down that route.
I recall the paper had, didn't the paper have a series of things like that in it already, or am I thinking of a different paper?
Yeah, this is described in accordance with the current guidance in under IS-40. So,
all right, so
yeah,
we'd have
discussion to... of the guidance under IS-40 about equipment that becomes integrated with investment property, and then there's also mention of relocation costs possibly being significant. So I think that the ideas are mentioned in the paper. Sure.
Okay. I was trying to cut it off, but no, that's okay. Joanna and then John.
My personal preference, if you said of those two, is probably to just go 16 and say that's it for a number of reasons, but mostly simplicity, because I think that the second one, Scott says annual, you know, used the words annual improvement. If we went the second route, I don't think it could be annual improvement because of the consequences on those that are currently treating these things, whatever we might end up, you know, how far we go, as property, plant and equipment, and would have to accordingly look at saying, well, we're doing the wrong standard and therefore maybe having to change their accounting policy. So I really don't think we could do it as annual improvement. That's guessing where we would end up. So therefore, for simplicity, I would actually prefer the first, but maybe to say, if anyone ever got some time later on, we need to be aware of this issue.
John? May I?
Yeah, let's John in first, Luca, and then you can come in.
I think similarly, I mean, I think if we do start to look at the definition, we're going to run into all sorts of difficulties, because some people might say a building is attached to land, but there are people who actually have buildings where they move them around to various different mining sites and for renting out to companies, and for they're not attached to land because they can actually be shifted, but they're buildings that are occupied by workers on those sites, so are they investment property? So I think we're going to run into a whole lot of different issues with the definition. So I suspect it's a very, very and to me it's likely that the outcome will change. It's going to be changed for somebody, and therefore it's clearly not something that would have to be done as a change to IAS 40. So I'm not sure it's an easy path to follow.
My personal preference, I'm not heavily invested in this one either way, but I'm swayed by Pat's comment that we, if we jump to an IAS 16 answer, are going to just make things profoundly difficult for the board and the investment company's exposure draft, and I don't think we ought to do that, especially given my understanding that this is an emerging business model for some investment properties or investment-type companies. My proposal then would be, unless I see objection... Oh, Luca, you wanted to come in. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. No, my view is that we are more in the room of EAS 16 rather than 40. And I agree with Joanna that if we will go on the streets of 40, probably we are doing something that is outside the level of an annual improvement. Is probably something bigger, because we have to work with a different definition and considering all the cross-cutting elements that are linked and effects are connected with a change in this definition. In any case, as I said before, I think that the staff should complete the research and consider the input that is relevant coming from the research, because the experience of other countries and the local standard set are relevant in order to identify which is the best approach. But looking at the two options that you were mentioned before are more on a EIS 16 basis rather than the 41.
I understand the view is not unanimous, and actually what I'm proposing may be the minority view, but my biggest concern about unintended consequences is unintended consequences for the board project on investment companies. And if we were to say today IAS 16, we're just guaranteeing another 25 comment letters for the board, so we ought to at least recognize what we're doing. So with that, I'd like the staff to do a little more work, especially with the investment companies team, and think about ways that we could adjust the definition in 40. I agree it's not an annual improvement because it's likely to have more than a small effect, but I'd like the staff to come back to us with something on that order. Joanna, last call.
I'm very supportive of where you're at, but just in terms of the comment that you made about if we said 16, it would cause a whole lot of problems. Right at the moment, though, I think that we are, of the view that as it stands at the moment, it would appear that a telecommunications tower is caught by 16, not 40, because it doesn't meet the Oxford definition.
I suspect that is the majority view of the committee. The reason I would prefer not to finalize majority view is because of the impact on an existing board project.
And I'm comfortable that we do some more work, but I guess what I'm, the majority view, if somebody wanted to look at it right now, that is possibly the majority view of the committee that's where they would end up.
I suspect that is the majority view, but rather than nailing that down, I'd like to do some more work. Julie.
I was just going to say, if it is the majority view, it seems like, with all due respect, it's the majority view off of gut instinct of what would make sense or what maybe was the board's intention in drafting 40, versus that's the majority view because we have a common notion of what a building is. Because if we have a majority view already of what the definition of a building is, we could just spit it out and, be done pretty quickly. So,
yeah, my point is we could be done pretty quickly, but the IASB as an institution would not be done quickly.
Right, but it sounds inconsistent to say we kind of know it's probably 16, but yet we got to do more work. It's like if you got to do more work, then of what the best answer is, then how can you know already?
Yeah, we could change 40. That's the point.
Well, it doesn't have a definition of building, so who knows if it'd be a change or not. I mean, that's the essence of the issue.
I'd really like to leave this one, but Laurence, please.
Coming back on Joanna's point about today, the majority view of the committee's IAS 16, is this saying that if an entity would apply IAS 40, they would be non-IFRS compliant? Could we say they would be non-IFRS compliant?
I have not called for a vote.
Okay.
And do not intend to. One of the only neat things that the chairman gets to do. So. Okay, we're done on this one. Martin. We are moving to paper 14.